In brightest day,
in brightest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of your women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Dorelia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's own Mohawk College.
And together we are your exclusive weekend pass.
Premium weekend pass to the wacky world of comic books.
Premium weekend pass to the wacky world.
Whatever, it's all good.
Of course, alluding to the great, the big fan expo happening this weekend.
Yes, that's occurring in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Yes,
and our friends at Fan Expo called us the other day and bought the whole block of commercials for the show.
Apparently, they're giving us a huge whack of cash to
they are?
Yeah.
They didn't tell me that.
Maybe I should. Jeez, if I had not said anything, I could have kept it all for myself.
Exactly. Chris.
Live and learn, I guess.
The week, of course, you're right. This weekend coming up is Fan Expo, actually starting tomorrow.
That's right. Tomorrow. Yeah, that's right. It is tomorrow. Yeah,
it's a four-day show now.
That's right.
And starting tomorrow, I think exclusive weekend pass holders get in at noon.
At noon?
At noon.
I had no idea. I thought it was still... Well, because the show... Doesn't the show open at like 4 o'clock or something like that?
No, 2 o'clock.
2 o'clock.
General public.
Oh, on the Thursday. Okay. Yes. All right.
And of course... above and beyond Fan Expo, today is Wednesday. Today is the day you and I come together to talk about new comics hitting the comic book stores all over the world.
Yes. Well, let's get started with that right away. And the first new comic we have here is the Ultimates Issue 1. Ultimate Comics, of course, by Marvel Comics.
Ultimate Issue 1.
Yes, and this one comes. It's got a great big picture of the Captain America shield on the front cover. It's a polybagged, one of those crazy kind of bagged comics. You don't really actually know what's going to happen inside. And Walt, I don't know. What do you think? Should we open that up on live on the air?
Let's open it up live on the air. Drum roll, please.
Oh, hold on.
Hold on. This is bag ripping. Okay, the bag's not ready.
Okay, well, let's keep going here. Yeah. Okay.
Is there a violin?
Hello? Anyone? Anyone? Okay, just hurry up and tear that thing open, will you?
Ready to hear this? You know, a promising bit.
You can't even get yourself out of a wet paper bag, apparently.
This book used to be mint.
It used to be mint. That was a great line.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go.
All right. Nope, not yet.
Oh, boy.
And here we go. Oh, look at that. That's a...
So describe to me what's on the cover, Walt.
Well, Captain America, Iron Man, and Thor.
Oh, nice.
And it's...
I hear they're popular characters.
Yes. Yes. Well, Ultimates was a really huge hit.
Yes, back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah.
And obviously a resurrection of Ultimates. Marvel, smart company that they are, knows what works. So they're going to go with that... Troika of the big guns.
Troika, I like
troika,
that.
Is that what you call it?
Or trifecta.
Trifecta.
Troika was like, isn't he like a Russian president or something like
he
that?
He might have been a ballet dancer.
Oh, okay, all right.
Okay. But Russian nonetheless.
I am Russian to end this skit, that's for sure.
Yes. Anyway, Ultimates, what do you got? Hickman is writing it. Esad Ribic is doing the art,
yep.
I believe, and Ultimate fans, Marvel fans, Cap fans will be rushing to pick this one out.
For sure, for sure.
And probably get a pair of scissors because that thing is just...
You were really struggling there for a minute. Yeah, well.
Might have tore a pec.
Oh, don't do that.
All right.
Anyways, that came out on the stands today. For DC today, I decided to, talk a little bit about the, again, we have the retroactive comics. And so this one that I chose was Justice League of America, retroactive, with Keith Giffen and Kevin Maguire and J.M. DeMatteis.
Right. Now that's got that 80s retroactive look.
Right.
Like that
so,
Justice League Europe look.
Yes.
I don't know if we want to. Oh, 90s. I'm sorry. 90s retroactive look.
Oh,
bonus.
I guess.
Classic
yeah.
tale
yeah.
from the 90s.
Yep. Yep.
And of course, Justice League, this is a filler, right? It's a one shot.
Right.
Next week, next Wednesday, Justice League 1.
Right.
And we'll talk more about that later
yeah,
in the show.
Yeah.
Why will people want to buy this today?
Well, of course, they're going to want to buy it because that's the same team that initially did the Justice League of America way back in the early 90s. And, you know, it was a pretty popular book. It spawned Justice League International and then, of course, Justice League Europe. And so it was the same creative team. So that's why they're doing this whole retroactive books because it's sort of like, you know, a look back of what could have been. It's the same creative team, same storylines, that kind of thing.
Yeah, you and I talked about these guys before, but didn't that Justice League Europe team, they fought those villains from Germany that were sausages.
That's right.
And one was called Weisswurst and the other one was Knockwurst.
That's right.
And they were strong, but when they linked together, they were even more powerful.
Man, you know, you just can't make this stuff up.
No, you can't. Yeah. It's like, how do you fight those guys? You know how? With a beer stein, a knife,
yes,
and a fork.
I like it.
Yeah,
I like it.
And maybe some sauerkraut.
And there was actually a comic once in Justice League Europe that the main bad guy was London's own the Beef Eater.
Mm.
Yeah, he had the great Beef Eater, you know, outfit yeah. on kind of thing. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
There was the French villain L'Escargot.
Oh.
Yeah, but you know what? He was slow and he was easy to catch.
Hey-o. He smelled of garlic. I don't know what it is.
Right.
Anyways. A lot of these retro books are coming out as well this week, so go to the local shop and check it out.
Yeah, check your local comic book store for Justice League Europe.
Okay.
Sorry, Justice League America one shot.
I know, it looks like Justice League Europe.
Right.
Yes. Okay, so my the last one for our regular feature.
Chris holds in his hand the last comic
that'll ever appear on the stands. No, that's not entirely true. However, I am holding Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles number 1 IDW, and I thought this was of note because it has one of the original creative team members, Kevin Eastman, doing the storyline and the layouts of the book as well. So I thought that was pretty cool.
This is a terrible cover.
I'm not trying to judge.
Look at it.
It's not that bad.
Oh, it's pretty bad.
No, well, it's not that good either. I mean, don't look inside. If you don't like the cover, then don't look inside.
Okay, so didn't Eastman... Eastman and Laird, they sold their stake in the Turtles a few years ago for like $50 million.
See, I'm not too sure. I thought one sold to the other guy or something. I thought one guy still had some stake in it, but I could be wrong. Maybe they sold everything. But anyways, the part of the creative team is doing it, and of course, no new number one these days would be complete without having, you know, 40 different issues that covers, right?
Okay.
So even one of the covers is done by Peter Laird as well.
Right. Okay, here's the thing. Books like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, okay, there's many types of books. And you know, there's obviously the Spider-Man type of book when it comes out. It's super popular.
Right.
And then it kind of spoke to a generation.
Right.
And then it spoke to the next one. And then it spoke to the next one. And then it spoke to the next one.
Right.
Like Batman. I'm sorry. I went too many generations for Spidey.
That's true, but that's okay.
Right.
Who's counting?
Now, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles
were
all the rage in the 80s.
Yes.
Does anybody care about them still now?
Yeah. You know what? Certainly not those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because these ones are the ones that are supposed to be the grittier, grungier ones with like violence and all that kind of stuff. Nobody cares about those ones. The only ones that people care about are the happy-go-lucky Donatello and Michelangelo, Raphael, and the last guy.
Palmero.
Yeah, that's his name. With the funny masks. Leonardo, with all the colored masks, right? That's all that they care about now. The ones that were based on the Archie versions, and then, of course, the cartoon, which is a huge hit, and the movies and all that stuff. But nobody really has much of a feeling for the grittier, grimier, sketchier versions of the popular characters.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, like whoever bought the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles for $50 million or something like that, I think might have got a bad deal. I think I'm just saying that I don't know if the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are doing a good job on selling themselves to this generation.
Hey, but you know what? Do you remember, it wasn't too long ago that you and I promoted or talked about when was it Peter was one of those two guys, Peter Laird or Kevin Eastman, was selling one of everything that he owned of all the TMNT stuff on eBay.
Right.
And he wanted like
50,000 or
something.
And he didn't get it.
He didn't get it. Well, I mean, really, how many, you know, Donatello Pez dispensers do you really need?
One apparently is too many.
apparently that's true. Of course, and the last book I just want to talk to you briefly about is Archie and Veronica comes out today, and that would be our kids' pick of the week. And of course,
Archie and Veronica. You cannot go wrong with Archie and Veronica.
Is it Archie and Veronica? Is that what? Yeah, Archie and Veronica.
Is it Archie? Is it Betty and Veronica?
It could be. Maybe it's Betty.
What you're talking about?
Sorry.
All right, listen. Anything by Archie
is always good.
Oh boy. We're gonna end new this week right there.
Oh, okay.
Busy show.
Yeah.
And please head into your local comic book store. Check out the new this week. This week.
Yes. You know, I decided to get some music going here. Something a little bit different. This is from the Mighty Marvel Marching Society.
Walk a little prouder, be an innovator. Walk a little louder, broker and the trader. We can show you how to win. Will you be there? You belong to the very Marvel Marching Society. March along to the song of the Merry Marvel Marching Society. If you growl, if you groan, with the dour sour outlook, if you howl, if you moan, you can lose your sour crust, but keeping trim and in step with the fame and the step of the Merry Marvel Marching Society.
Be an early riser.
Try to be ambitious.
Speak a little wiser.
Try to be judicious.
Be a good advisor.
Never ever vicious.
And where will you be then?
Face front! Lift your head! You're on the winning team!
You belong.
Yes, the mighty mini...
Mighty Mouse Marvel Society. Yes.
Really, really excellent tune.
And I wish I could believe you.
And a great, Chris, a great segue into industry news as always. Industry news, of course, this week is brought to you by Fan Expo. You have to go to Fan Expo this weekend. If you don't, you're going to miss out on a really great weekend.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah, sure. We'll tell you more about it in a few minutes.
And we'll see you guys. And we'll see everybody there. All right, we're going to start industry news today with sad news for me. Conan, the movie, bombed at the box office.
Yes, it did. It did very poorly, didn't it?
It did. It came in fourth.
Yeah.
And it Spy Kids came in third. They were both new releases. The number one and two spot were old movies.
Yes.
The Help and the Planet of the Apes. They were old releases, and they were one and two. No new movie could even crack the top two.
No.
Conan made $10 million. Disappointing. They say that it cost about $80 million to produce. Really not much to its defense, because I thought it was going to crush its enemies on its release. See them driven before me.
And hear the lamentation of the women.
Right. No women, though, because it was 69%, only 24% lamentations from women.
Oh, wow. Well.
And
most
people were over 25.
Here's my question, though. I wonder if it's actually, is it a bad movie, or is it just people just don't care about it because it's not Arnold? Or they just don't care about it, period.
I think it's a combination. It doesn't need Arnold. It's like just a new generation. It's a character, right?
Right.
It's the 13th major action film of the summer.
Yeah, I think that has a big part.
It didn't get very much PR publicity. They didn't put money into the publicity machine for this.
Yeah.
You know, on the good side, I guess, I think Conan will have half-decent international legs.
Yeah, I think so too.
Conan is a character that they love, you know, in Asia and Africa and Europe and stuff like that. More so than, let's say, something like the Green Lantern or something like
Right.
I think. So I think between that and DVDs and Blu-ray or whatever.
I think it'll do okay. It'll
probably break even and make some money, I hope.
Yeah, but do you think it's going to actually, spawn a sequel?
I hope so. You know? I hope so. Weekend one wasn't good.
No. But there are some movies out there that have done very poorly in the initial weeks of the opening of the movie that end up having a bit of a cult following and end up doing much better later on in while still in the theaters, and then do great guns even in DVD sales.
Yeah, you're right. And I hope Conan's – I didn't see it. I want to go see this movie. We have you and I going to Fan Expo this weekend,
yeah.
So it's not going
yeah.
to be happening this weekend. But perhaps if we make a buck or two at Fan Expo, we could afford to go.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah,
afford some popcorn or something.
Hey, that'd be nice. Finally,
and maybe check it out the weekend after. So
sounds good.
I have to. I'm reserving judgment until I see it. But disappointed in its opening at number four. We'll see what happens from here on in. A bit more news on Conan. So Stan Lee Media, Chris,
right.
is a company that Stan Lee formed years ago to, push all Stan Lee projects.
Yeah, it wasn't just like he was trying to create new products and new media and like websites and stuff like that, and all with his name attached to it. And he figured that he would do great guns.
Yeah. So then he sold Stan Lee Media to a bunch of guys that bought Stan Lee Media.
Right.
So Stan Lee Media now is suing over the Conan rights.
Right.
So Stan Lee Media sold the Conan intellectual property to a company called Conan Sales Company in 2002, which then sold the rights to Paradox Entertainment, who are the guys that released this movie.
Right.
Right. Now Stan Lee Media is suing... for I don't know what they're suing for because it looks like it's cut and dry.
Yeah, well, it says that they're suing for intellectual property.
Right.
Right.
But
so
they sold to somebody who sold to these guys.
I love the fact that Stan Lee Media, which didn't actually include Stan Lee Media.
Right now it doesn't.
No, that's right. It didn't actually include Stan Lee. Sold the Conan property to a company called Conan Sales.
Right.
And then Conan Sales didn't have Conan anymore. It went to Paradox.
Yes.
A company called Stan Lee that didn't have Stan Lee sold it to a company called Conan, and then now Conan doesn't even have Conan in it.
Right.
That's great. That's great.
So Conan, the Conan sales company probably distributes like Angry Monkeys or what's that? Angry Cats? What's the one? What's the popular video game?
Oh,
Angry Squirrels?
No, Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what probably Conan Sales is.
Probably, right yeah, yeah.
But interesting, though, because this Conan Media Company. Conan. Hello.
Conan Media Company.
Back that up.
I like Conan Media Company.
Yes. I have Conan. I have a media company.
I want you to check my website.
Yeah, right now.
Right now.
Stan Lee Media actually sued Stan Lee a couple of years ago. All right,
that's great. All right, well, this is ridiculous.
So anyway, it looks like this company's just suing.
I can't imagine why Conan did so poorly.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, Stan, I don't know what a tangled web you weave.
Oh yes, All right.
Let's move on. Some better news. Some good news in the comic front. Especially at your local comic shop, hopefully all through September, is big numbers are appearing for the pre-orders for all the DC 52 titles for September. So Justice League number one has over 200,000 pre-orders so far.
That's awesome.
And six titles also have over 100,000 pre-orders. Now, it doesn't list them, but I'm just imagining, obviously, Batman is going to be one of them.
Action,
perhaps, yeah. Green Lantern.
Yeah,
Zatanna.
I somehow doubt it, but it's possible.
Right. But So that's good. This is good. I mean, it's skewed a bit, I think, because what DC is doing for they're doing these guaranteed returns.
Right.
And they're doing incentives, these crazy one in 200.
Well, yeah, but then of course, isn't Marvel doing the sort of cross incentive where if you don't like the DC stuff, you can send all your covers to Marvel,
yes.
And then Marvel gets sends you a special incentive as well,
right? Because then Marvel's going to send it theirs to DC.
They'll get the incentive.
And sell it in the lobby of the Marvel thing.
Marvel's
hey, buddy,
stockpile
action
one
in 200 variant. So that's great. That's great news, though. I like that.
So this is interesting. So, you know, next week already. Yeah. These new DC number ones are coming out. And now I'm wondering, like, you know, why. I'm wondering if any store is actually going to sell any DCs this week. Because if everything's going to end next week, what's the point?
Well, Justice League, what the heck did we do?
That was like a one-shot, right?
Yeah, you're right.
If there's any
ongoing... You know what, though? You and I talked about this before. Hopefully they have something, kind of like a little bunny egg at the end. What do you call
bunny
it?
Bunny egg?
What do you call it in the movie?
Easter egg,
yeah. Right. Easter egg at the end where, like, on Thor, you have at the end, like, that little teaser.
Yeah.
I hope maybe they have that.
I was going to say either that or people who are just completists are going to say, okay, I got to finish off the set.
I have to have that last issue of Action, 904.
Yeah, now right. I've got them all.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I wish. What's interesting is Dan Didio, the co-publisher, he had candid words on the relaunch strategy. He said, the truth is people are leaving comics anyway. They're just doing it quietly and we have been papering it over with increase in prices.
Right.
We didn't want to wake up one day and find we have a bunch of $20 books that only 10,000 people are buying.
Right.
So, you know, Didio saying they needed this big shakeup.
Right.
To try to hold ground or get some of
and
that
get new readers
back.
Or something yeah, involved. Yeah, yeah. Fair enough.
Though, you know what, though, Chris, we'll stay on this topic a little bit because, again, I'm going to get on my soapbox and talk about the distribution of comic books.
Right.
I think last number is something like 1,900 specialty comic shops in North America.
Okay.
From a peak in the 90s of something like 4,400
or something like that.
In the early 90s, local variety stores were still selling comics.
Yes.
Put that at 20, 30, 40,000 places in North America,
sure.
You can get a half-decent selection of your weekly comic books.
Yeah.
Now, only 1,900 places have a half-decent selection of local comic books. You can't expect these 1,900 specialty shops that half of them, if not more, I'll say three-quarters of them, are that old ma and pa model
style
that are in like kind of out-of-reach places. Not many guys are brave enough to go on those high-traffic streets with the high rents and stuff like that where people have easy access to stuff. So, you're doing this new relaunch, but you're still pushing it through only 1,900 specialty shops that people have to specifically go to to buy these hard copy things. Now, online download is a different thing.
Yeah, yeah. But, so do you think that going back to the newsstands, going back to variety stores, you know, grocery stores?
They need a wider distribution of hard copy comic books in order to get them into more hands. So let's take it one step further. Let's go and say that the whole online initiative works. Let's say rather than the average Green Lantern or Batman readers, which are maybe, let's say, 80,000.
Right.
I'm just guessing. Imagine if 800,000 downloads happen because it's convenient. You're on the, you know, I'll read the newest Batman.
Yep.
Now you have tenfold the number of readers that are now, oh, this is great.
Well,
that now. What if they're interested in maybe sourcing some older material, maybe sourcing some old graphic novels, sourcing some cheap comics or stuff like that? Wouldn't it be great if they had something 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 different places around the city that they can go get their comics?
Rather
than two or three hidden away in little holes somewhere that they got to drive to and they don't know the neighborhood and all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know. This will work for September, but it's still hard copy. Distribution is a problem.
Okay. I'm just going to add to that. Now, I know we're just,
add to it, Chris.
Now, I know we're mainly talking about paper distribution, but I think they need to increase the sales of the online distribution. I think they need to do something that is a greater incentive. I mean, it's often been said that iTunes and the iPod has you know, basically saved the music industry because you're getting the same old schlock all the time. And then basically as long as you could, you know, buy a tune for a dollar, well, all of a sudden now you've got all these new artists popping up who might not have normally been heard.
Right.
So why can't we come up with a system for comics where you can pay, you know, 50 cents for independent comics as well as normal, the big publishers. You know, why not? There should be something involved with making.
Well, you know what? I'm sure that there's so much change and stuff like that. I'm sure things will filter down within the next couple of years into some workable model, like you're saying. So nobody just knows what that is yet, right?
Right.
Because there's just so many variables and factors that are at play. That's all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's keep on going.
All right. Let's keep it moving. Chris.
Speaking of comics.
Speaking of quality comics.
Yes.
Let's talk about the 2011 Harvey Award winners.
Yes. So this occurred last weekend.
Yeah, at the Baltimore
Comic Con on Saturday night. And we don't want to talk about everything that won, but, you know, we go over a few of the winners. And the wieners. Hot dog, we have a wiener. Best syndicated strip or panel was Doonesbury by Gary Trudeau. It's been around for forever.
Yeah, very American.
Oh,
very
yeah.
Political. Yeah. Very kind of Washington.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah, neither do I.
All right. Best artist is Darwin Cook for Richard Stark's Parker, The Outfit by IDW.
Darwin Cook, Canadian feller.
I love the fact that, you know, there's not a whole – I mean, there are a lot of Marvel and DC stuff here, but, you know, I like the fact that best artist went to IDW.
Yeah.
I think that's interesting.
Yeah. And Darwin Cook, I like Darwin Cook.
Good Canadian kid there.
Good Canadian kid. Me and his pop used to have some brown pops. Well, what do you call them? Brown pops?
Sure.
Anyway. Darwin Cook. So he's now not producing basically the last couple of years. He's not producing any kind of new material. He's reinterpreting crime fiction.
Well, he's taking novels and Richard Parker, the Hunter, and then this one was The Outfit and stuff
right.
like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's still new. It's just that it's just
– Right, but you know, I'm talking about – he really never – no, let me go back with Darwin Cook. His stuff he's most famous for really – were kind of rehashes, right?
I suppose.
New Frontier is kind of a rehash, kind of redoing.
Right.
Spirit, which he did really well with at the beginning, was kind of like a retake.
Well, I mean, he did, you know, he re-jump-started Catwoman.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
With a new outfit and everything.
Right.
If you're going to criticize somebody for not...
I'm not criticizing, I'm just... pointing it out.
Okay. Well, fair enough. I was going to say, because like half, you know, 90% of the comic artists are doing somebody else's creations.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So.
Ooh, you got me there.
I'm just saying. It sounds like you're being critical of the guy.
All right. Listen, best cover artist went to Mike Mignola, Hellboy.
Okay.
Now, you know what? I don't really like Mike Mignola's covers.
You know, it's because you have no taste.
Thank you. I wasn't really sure why, but now that you've explained it to me, it's all clear.
Is it because you don't like the way he does all the heavy blacks?
Yeah, you know what? It's kind of like him and Miller, the same kind of thing going on. They have their kind of simplistic style.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I guess maybe that's what they like. They like that simplistic style.
Well, maybe clearly other people like it too.
Maybe he knows where to put the kind of light backlight and all that kind of stuff.
Yes,
you know, he went to art class. Probably.
He may have.
And anyway, I don't like him. I mean, listen, no. I like Mike Mignola, but I don't think his covers are the best covers out there.
Okay, fair enough.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
All right. Best original graphic publication for younger readers was Tiny Titans by Art Balthazar and Franco Orleani.
Big fan. I know you are of Tiny Titans.
Yes. Well, I big fan of both those guys. Actually, I know them. I know them to hang out with them, that kind of thing, talk to them. And they're good guys, and they're always willing to do sketches for people at conventions, and they're great. They're really fun to be around.
Are they always willing to do radio interviews with you and me?
Probably not, but I don't blame them for that.
Okay, yeah, I guess. Good point.
All right.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. Best original graphic album, Scott Pilgrim, Volume 6. Scott Pilgrim's Finest Hour, Brian Lee O'Malley, Oni Press.
Yes.
That's great. That's another good, Canadian content.
Good Canadian kid there.
Yep, and that kind of capped. Now, Scott Pilgrim, it kind of, the apex of the whole Scott Pilgrim experience.
Apex. Yeah.
The climax, the summit. The you know, the cherry on top moment.
Yes.
Was probably the release of Scott Pilgrim Volume 6 as opposed to the release of the movie.
Right, right.
For some reason, the movie seemed a bit anticlimactic.
Yeah, it really did, yeah.
So, like, the whole subculture that the graphic novel represented. They all kind of rallied around the release of the last album.
Yeah.
And then they kind of, I guess we should go see the film
too. Yeah.
Interesting. Best continuing or limited series, they gave it to Gilbert Hernandez, Love and Rockets.
Yes, which I was a little surprised about that because they've been around for a long, long time. So it's good that they're still getting accolades.
Quality work?
Yes, absolutely.
All right.
All right, let's. Shall we have a musical interlude here?
Always.
All right, well, let's go with a little bit of the Spectacular Spider-Man from the cartoon.
Spectacular.
That's great. Please stop that. All right. Anyways.
All right, Chris, let's move it along. Let's please move it along.
Please move it along.
Let's talk about a Danger Girl movie.
Yeah, this is crazy. So here's a comic that came out like 10, 11 years ago. And
Maybe even 12
right. years ago. And, you know, it's by J. Scott Campbell and Hartnell.
Yep.
And Andy Hartnell, rather. And so, you know, it was done through Image Comics, through the Wildstorm Studios. Mm-hmm. And it was did really well, but it only had like 7 issues, and then it kind of died. They had a bunch of little offshoot issues after that, one-shots, and not necessarily by the same creative team. But anyways, now we've got a Danger Girl movie coming out.
Yeah, it always had cult. It was classic TNA selling strategy on that, right?
And, well, it was kind of like this James Bondy kind of comic, but as if James Bond was a female. And so there's all this kind of, you know, guns and sexual innuendo and, you know,
Laura Crofty, all that kind of stuff going on. Now, they have actresses tied to the project. I'm not sure which one would play Danger Girl.
Well, okay, so this is interesting. So they've got...
is there a Danger Girl as one? Like the
Abby Chase is the main character. And so Mila Jovovich, who's famous...
Jovovich
is famous for the Resident Evil movies. And then you've got Kate Beckinsale, who... pardon me. She's... she's very popular for... Oh, what's that? There was a werewolf movie. I can't remember what it's called now.
Right.
She plays a vampire kind of thing.
And Sofia Vergara.
And Sofia Vergara, who plays on that... Oh, jeez. I can't think of anything. It's a TV show.
Gone with the Wind.
Family Matters, I think it's called. Matters. Is that what it's called? Is that the one?
Probably.
I don't know. Anyways, it's with the guy that played... I can't think of anything these days. So let's just keep on moving along here. Three extremely good-looking women are going to be in the Danger Girl movie, and I can't believe I can't think of any of these movies' names.
Good. So Danger Girl movie is happening, and that's just I'm serious.
Modern Family, not Family
Modern
Matters.
Modern Family.
Modern Family, sorry. I think Family Matters, wasn't that the one with, like, Urkel or something? Sorry about that.
That's okay. So that's great. This is another step in the prophecy that every single comic property ever
could possibly become a movie.
Will become a movie, right?
I think you and I should make our own comic
and then sell it as
and
a
then
movie.
Try to sell it as a movie. I don't know what it's going to be about. Maybe two schmucks with a radio show.
You know what? It'll work.
Absolutely.
Just give us capes. and it'll work.
But hey, look, people don't need to know that we're wearing capes while we're talking on the radio.
Yes, they do. It's all about the visual, Chris. Oh, all about the visual.
All right.
Let's move it along. Wolverine sequel starting to film in Canada in November, which is great. Wolverine is filming in Vancouver. And help me out with the name here, Chris. The script is written by Chris McQuarrie.
Christopher McQuarrie.
McQuarrie.
Yeah.
So that's I'm not sure which the storyline, but remember, I think Miller did it. Remember back where Wolverine goes to
Japan
and
yep.
stuff, and I think doesn't he fight the Hand?
He fights the Hand. He fights the Silver Samurai.
Right.
It's sort of a bit of there's some sort of like you know a bit of origin of Wolverine, why he becomes who he is.
The Yakuza.
And then we find out that he actually gets married and that kind of stuff.
So I'm not sure if that's exactly the story plot that they're doing or not, but what's his name? The actor that plays Wolverine?
Hugh Jackman.
He's actually excited about the script. He likes it.
Yep. Well, apparently the guy that Christopher McQuarrie actually apparently wrote the script for The Usual Suspects.
Which was a great, great movie.
Yep. And I just find this kind of interesting how reportedly they're using a combination of CGI and second unit work to create Japanese locations. I don't know why are they creating like computer generated scenery to create Japanese locations.
That's a good point.
Couldn't they just go to Japan?
Japan.
Yeah. I mean, unless maybe that's like some sort of weird feudal Japan or something, and they can't recreate it. I don't know.
Right. Yeah. I don't know either. But what's good about it is that the Wolverine movie is filming, which is excellent. Boy, that would put that's the second Wolverine movie, right?
Yes, yes.
And there's been four X-Men movies already.
Three,
and then the First Class.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Right. The four.
But Wolverine wasn't in that one.
No, I meant like X-Men related.
Oh, I'm sorry. Right. Right. Okay.
Movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a heck of a property. For a license holder.
That's amazing.
So
yep.
That's good. So we're hoping that they're hoping big. Do you remember the first one, the Wolverine? Was that a success?
The first Wolverine movie?
Yeah.
But I mean, it wasn't all that good of a movie.
Right.
I mean, it had a lot of weird stuff in it, and it was well received because I mean, everybody loves Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
Right.
But as far as the movie itself, I wouldn't say it was all that good.
All right. All right, Critic Owen.
Critic Owen, all right.
Is it two tomatoes? You say tomato.
I say tomato.
Let's call the whole thing off.
All right. Hey, speaking of musicals.
Yes.
Hey, so we got our...
That was a segue.
Did you like that one? Huh?
That was mine, actually.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay.
You go ahead, then.
No, indubitably. After you.
Please, I say. Please, after you. I insist.
Indubitably.
No, pardon me. After you.
Right.
All right. Well, anyways, Batman Live, the Batman stage production that is going to premiere today in London. And luckily enough, we actually have our intrepid reporter, Danny Champion, is going to be at the show and giving us a bit of a review for it.
Cheerio, Dan.
I say.
Old man.
Good show, old bean.
Good show, old man. Go in there and...
Give him old what for.
Right. Tip. Great news. Dan Champion is going to go in, the intrepid reporter for Comic Book Daily and Comic Culture Radio Show.
That's right.
And he got two press passes because once the guys at Batman Line.
I'll give you a Batman line.
Right. You've given a lot of girls Batman lines. Listen, once he told them that he was reporting for Comic Culture.
As he said that, I thought of a ton of really bad one-liners. And I just,
Right. Okay, get it out of your head.
Sorry.
Because he made the phone call, said, hey, guys, I'm working for Comic Culture Radio. They in front of the line treatment. Chris.
Absolutely. Red carpet treatment.
Red carpet treatment.
VIP
He's
room.
Got two press passes waiting for him at the box office.
Yep.
Going to go in there and take care of business. He's going to review it. I believe they told him to get the tickets. He has to give a positive review.
Yeah, probably.
And our intrepid reporter, Dan, said, cheerio.
And cheerio.
I say.
Anything for a free show.
No problem.
All right.
So good job, Dan.
Yep. Excellent.
Daniel.
Well done,
sorry.
Daniel.
And yeah, we're just waiting. So next week when we record the show, Chris, hopefully we will have a review.
You know, if it wasn't for the time change, we should try to. It'd be nice if we get him on the air one of these days.
I know. Yeah. You know what? We'll work on that.
Yes.
All right. You know what? If we have to get him up at 4 a.m.
We'll do it.
Right, we'll do it.
We'll do it. Yeah.
He can have his tea and
tea and crumpets, English muffin.
Yes, toast. All right. Good work, Danny.
All right.
All right. Let's move it along. We got a spoiler alert.
Beep, beep,
meep,
beep.
Meep.
Spoiler alert.
Dive.
Spoiler alert.
Dive.
That was terrible.
Yeah. Spoiler alert. For okay. people that don't want concrete rumors of the villains in the Avengers movie.
You know, concrete rumor, that's a bit of a, you know...
oxymoron?
Oxymoron, yeah. Right. What'd you call me?
well, anyway, spoiler alert. So, pictures coming from Cleveland, where Joss Whedon's Avengers is shooting, are showing that perhaps pretty sure it's going to be a Kree-Skrull type of thing happening in the Avengers
right.
movie.
Right. So this is very interesting, of course. The Skrull.
The Skrull.
Skrull.
Kree-Skrull.
Sorry. Kree-Skrull. Kree-Skrull. War actually started way back in the 1970s, which was created by, at least partly created by Roy Thomas in the Avengers, which ran in Avengers 89 to 97.
Yes.
So this has been happening for a long time. This isn't some sort of brand new material that they're just created just for the movie. This is something that's like it's actual Avengers canon.
Yeah, I'm wondering if Captain Marvel.
Is
going to, because he's a Kree.
Yeah.
Or is he a Skrull? He's one of the two.
I think he's a Kree.
He's a Kree, yeah. And he's an outcast Kree.
Yes.
It's on Earth.
Yes.
Now, the Kree-Skrull War, he was involved in that and stuff. And I'm wondering if they're going to have Captain Marvel.
That would be interesting.
In the Avengers
movie. That would be good.
Look out for that. All right, so this is exciting for Avengers because I'm an Avengers fan.
Yes.
And being an old timer, I like that old kind of canon, the old stuff, like the Kree-Skrull War and all that kind of stuff. And if they're going to go hard on Avengers, it would be great to pay homage to that.
Absolutely, the
Galactic Avengers type of stuff. Yeah. I don't want them
Against the Mole Man.
I don't want to go on against Kingpin or something dumb like that. Mole Man.
The Wrecking Crew.
Yeah, crime bosses or something.
Yeah.
I want them going against, intergalactic.
Right. This is a major thing that's going to happen.
That's good.
This is the reason they need to get all the heroes together kind of thing.
Yes. All the heroes together. Good call, Chris.
All right.
Chris, speaking of
all the heroes together.
Yes.
That was a great segue to First Classics.
Was it really?
No, it was terrible. No.
All right. First Classics is a company that has been licensing the old Classics Illustrated and redoing them in kind of nicer formats over the last couple
of
years.
Now, for our audience members that aren't familiar with Classics Illustrated, this was a series that started
1941 with the Three Musketeers.
Yes, and with the Three Musketeers. And basically, they were sort of retelling classic stories in comic book format. Stories like, Three Musketeers, Moby Dick, Hamlet. Geez, the list goes on and on.
Did you say Moby Dick?
Yes.
Okay, that was a good book. Sorry, I thought I heard you wrong. Stop it!
Anyways.
Listen, I got the perfect remedy for that. Anyway. Chris, stop it. First Classic Inc. has bought the rights to Classics Illustrated.
Right.
And they are going to now, I don't know what the hell they're going to do with it because I didn't think that Classics Illustrated has a market today.
No, but clearly it does.
Yeah,
because apparently people still want to read about Moby Dick.
I guess so. A good Moby Dick story is what you always want to be reading.
Well, the good thing with Classics Illustrated, you can read it really quickly because it's just in a little short format.
Right, yeah. Quickly and short. Story of Chris's life. anyway, so I'm gonna fill the listenership with a gem of knowledge.
A gem.
I believe we have, and I know we have an extensive listenership.
Mm-hmm.
And I am going to go out on a limb and say that two of them will be interested in what I'm about to say.
All right.
So we have a lot of people come in with old Classics Illustrated into the shop.
Yes.
And they go, oh, here's my Last of the Mohicans or Don Quixote or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And they don't really understand how classics worked in terms of collectability.
Right.
Most of the classics were reprinted. Oh, maybe once a year. There
yes.
may be 20 printings of, yeah. of most
of each
the books.
One.
Yes.
Yeah, so there may be 20 printings of The Count of Monte Cristo.
Right, 20 printings of The Three Musketeers,
yeah.
20 printings of all that kind of stuff. There are a few with only one printing or two printings.
Right,
a really
right.
rare one is number 43, Great Expectations.
Okay, right, right.
Super rare
yep.
because there's one. I'm guessing there's two, I think, but both of them are worth money, and there might only have been one. But
okay.
Big money for Great
for that,
Expectations, because
yeah.
I think there was only one. But anyway, there's a thing called the HRN number.
Yes.
So if you're sitting on, oh my, people are running to their
running.
Closet right
yes.
now because there's a stack of classics over
yeah,
there, and they want to know if they have big money.
They're
there.
Reaching underneath the tables that the classics have been holding up.
Yeah, right. As they're listening to this.
Yeah.
And they want to know if they're worth it. They want to know if they're originals. Okay.
Right.
So you look, every classic advertised old classics.
Right.
So
right.
if you have classic number 27, which was, I don't know, let's say the Corsican Brothers or Last of the Mohicans or whatever. If you look on the back and it advertises 168 Classic Illustrateds.
Right.
That was the last issue, 168. You have the very last printing.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Okay.
So you probably have, you know, it's probably worth a dollar or two.
Right.
If it only advertises up to 26 or 27 Classics Illustrated, you have the original.
Oh, interesting.
Right? Now, per se, there's not a formula, but every 10 or 12, so if you have, let's say, HRN advertised up to, say, number 38 or 40, that might be the second printing.
Okay,
if
right,
number
right.
55, that might be the third printing.
Right,
and
72 right,
might
right.
be the fourth printing. So roughly like that. So if you have a Classics number 1 and there's no advertising for other classics in
yep.
it, then you have the original first Classics Illustrated, and that could be worth a lot of money.
Wow. And there is quite a market for old Classics Illustrated,
the originals.
Right?
Yes,
the originals. Like
the originals.
There are a lot of collectors out there for
absolutely,
those books. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Speaking of
collectors.
Collectors, I know you are a comic art fan.
Yes,
and,
I am.
I'll let you... So
John Romita Sr., who was the long-time running Spider-Man, Amazing Spider-Man artist from Marvel Comics, he has now become sort of a legend among the art community. And anyways, he had a cover for Spider-Man, or sorry, his cover. I don't know if he had it or not, but
right.
His cover for Spider-Man number 49. Amazing Spider-Man number 49 recently sold for $167,300. And of course, this is crazy. I mean,
it's big money.
Big
for
money.
It's a drawing.
Yeah.
I do drawings.
Yeah.
It's a drawing.
It's
Spider-Man.
Yeah. It's not a painting.
No.
It's not. And he's still alive.
Yeah. And the thing is, Steve Ditko, all his covers get big money too. He did the first 38 covers of
yes,
Spider-Man.
Yes.
And then Romita, off and on, did the next 100 or so.
I think it was more than that even.
Yeah, 100. But yeah, I think Gil Kane did a couple of them.
Oh, I see.
There,
right, right.
I'm not sure who did them, but Romita did like over 100 of them from then on
yeah.
in. And $167,000 is huge money
yeah.
for any kind of original art. Still pales in comparison to an interior page that Frank Miller's Dark Knight Return got 400 and some odd thousand this year, I think.
That's right, yeah. I think it may have been last year, but yeah.
Right, and a Frazetta piece got last year 300 and some, 380,000.
Yeah.
So these original... Arts.
So original comic book art is nothing to sneeze at, is basically what we're saying. Like, I mean, people, I think some people still have this impression that original comic art and original art and comics really aren't worth anything. But clearly, we've just had a couple of good examples of how this stuff is worth a lot of money.
Clearly. So rummage through your dad's den and call me if you find anything.
Right. Yes, absolutely. All right.
All right, Chris, let's move it along. We got, oh my God, we have to.
We're running out of time here.
We're running out of time here.
One last story here before we.
One last story. Yes, we're going to talk about. So Bleeding Cool, the website, has a story about the Atomic Comics. Atomic Comics is a famous comic chain in Texas, Arizona. They actually declared bankruptcy, sent a little ripple through the retail circuits, the retail kind of field,
yep.
Thinking, wow, how'd this guy going under? You know, how are we going to survive?
Yeah.
The more I read up about it is there were extenuating circumstances. There were I guess there was some sort of girl last year or 2 years ago or 3 years ago that accidentally drove her car through the front door of the
right.
their flagship store,
right.
A huge flood, $1 million in damage in stock. I guess he didn't have the insurance or whatever, and he basically could not recover from that loss.
Right.
And so the good news is that there was some place in Phoenix, the Phoenix store. This is my favorite part of the story. All About Books and Comics in Phoenix has come to a deal with Diamond to honor any sales orders made by Atomic Comics, even specialty items. So,
wow.
You know, just thank you, Atomic Book Comics, for stepping in and helping out.
By taking their orders. Yeah.
I mean, here's a win-win situation. You go like this. You go, ah, I feel sorry for Atomic Comics. I'm going to help out their customers by doing a good deed.
Yeah.
But I guess I won't feel guilty about, you know,
stealing
doubling my
stealing their customers.
Well, he's not really, I guess, stealing them, but good. I guess at least in that town, people have another place to go.
Right, I suppose. All right. Well, let's keep on moving along here, and here's some little musical interlude before we go on to our next segment.
Batman.
Oh, sorry. Okay.
All right. Where were we?
Okay. So last segment of the show, we're talking about.
Hold on. It's brought to you by Fan Expo.
I'm sorry. Yes.
And then we'll talk about Fan Expo.
It's brought to you by Fan Expo. Go there to see all kinds of crazy stuff at Fan Expo. It's not just about comics anymore. It's about science fiction, the Festival of Fear, animation, and gaming.
Good work, Chris.
Did you like that?
All right, Chris. Now. I know you're a comic book. You say you're a comic book fan.
I would like to think so, yeah.
So I'm going to give you a little test and see if you're a true comic book
okay.
fan. Okay. Are you a true comic
book fan? Am I true comic
The answers you provide for me right now will measure whether you're a comic book
fan. All right. Okay.
All right. Okay. So we all know that lines. You're going to have to wait in line.
Yes.
Okay. For anything you want to do at the con, you're going to have to wait in line.
A lot of line waiting.
So I'm going to measure your love for comics. Would you rather wait 1 hour in line for entry into the Fan Expo or getting in line to get your driver's license renewed?
Oh, that's an easy one. Come on. You know, nobody would ever want to wait in line for the driver's license, so
no?
It's easily wait in line for Comic Expo.
Yeah, all right.
No problem.
Okay, so far so good. I mean, you're all right. Would you rather wait 1 hour to get a sketch from Francis Manapul? Or would you rather wait 1 hour waiting for your girlfriend to get dressed to go to a dinner party?
Well, it depends on who's at the dinner party.
I guess.
You know, I mean, if Francis Manapul's at the dinner party,
that's a good point.
You know, then maybe I wouldn't mind waiting because then, you know, maybe I can.
So I'm going to put that as a tie?
Sure, let's say that as a tie. Yeah, yeah, okay.
All right. Would you rather wait 1 hour?
Although I don't know why Francis Manapul and my girlfriend would be at the same dinner party, by the way. I'm a little nervous about that.
I see. You know what? Listen, that's what makes the world go round.
I suppose. Don't fight it. Okay.
It's bigger than the both of you.
What is? I don't want to know. I don't want to know.
Anyway, would you rather wait 1 hour to shake William Shatner's hand or wait 1 hour to see the triage nurse in the emergency?
Maybe it depends on what's broken.
Hey-o.
I'll say William Shatner. Yeah.
Okay, so far so good. Chris, you're doing good.
Okay.
Okay, your true colors are shining
yeah,
through.
Okay, here we go.
All right. Would you rather wait 1 hour to get free DC promo stuff versus waiting 1 hour to get that bottle of rye at the liquor store the day before Canada Day holiday.
No, oh, you know, you just had to hit me where it hurts, right in the old rye pocket.
Right.
You know, I'm going to have to go with the booze.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. Listen, I mean, this affects your score a little.
Okay. Okay.
But, you know, you still have one more.
All right.
Okay. Would you rather wait 1 hour to get your turn at the Big B Comics cheap $3 bins that are going to be awesome at Fan Expo, and everybody should go to that booth? Or wait 1 hour on the phone to try to get to the Canada Post customer service.
Oh, I mean, you know, is there, could there be like a third option?
No, unfortunately not.
Oh,
this is why this is tough.
Yeah, it's very, very tough. I was hoping maybe there'd be like, you know, to get an autograph from Walter Duralia from the Comic Culture Radio.
Okay, we can do that one.
Oh, okay. Right. I'd rather wait an hour for that.
All right. Chris, you know what? That ends that test, and I can truly say, with one little blip,
yep.
That you are a true comic.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
And you will be at the con.
Yes.
And people could come say hi to you.
And to you.
And to me.
Yep. We will be at the Big B booth.
We will be at the Big B booth, and we'll be walking the floor with, I think we'll have Big B shirts.
I think we're going to have, aren't we going to have those big sandwich board signs on us?
No.
Say, like,
we're going to have
eat at Joe's, but you know.
See Mark at Big B. He's quarterbacking the whole thing.
Okay.
He's got a schedule. He's got, we have red t-shirts
right.
And blue t-shirts.
Oh.
Red leader. stay on target. Red leader.
You know, you never want to be
the leader.
You never want to be the red shirt on Star Trek. He was always the guy that got shot.
Yeah, he's the guy. You know, when you beam down.
Yeah.
When that party beamed down, and there's that one guy you don't know.
Yeah.
He ain't coming back.
That's right.
He ain't coming back.
That's right.
So on off days, we'll be wearing red Big B t-shirts.
Right.
And on the on days, we'll be wearing blue.
Oh, okay, good. I like that. And then isn't there a white shirt?
David.
There's a white shirt in there.
No, those are the collared shirts for executives.
Oh, I'm
right. You don't get one of those.
Pardon me.
Pardon me. Do you have any great poupons?
Oh, I
do you have any great
gargoyles? I didn't realize. Okay.
Yeah. No. I think it's just the we have according to Mark.
Okay.
And he runs a tight ship.
I know.
It'll be red blue or
I thought it was red, blue, white, blue.
Right. No, red, blue. So I'm trying to tell the listenership, but you keep interrupting. If you see two really dumb-looking schmucks in either red T-shirts or blue matching T-shirts, stop us and say hi.
All right. Sounds good. Okay.
Right, what else we got on the show?
Okay. So hold on. So with this Fan Expo, what are some things that – I mean, oh, you know what? We've only got like 3 minutes, 2 minutes left.
That's not possible.
It is possible.
Where does
the time go? So let's just very quickly
– Very quickly.
What do people need to worry about when they go to the show?
Chris, they have to be rested for the show.
Yes.
Okay. Get some sleep before you head to the dump thing. Don't stay up all night drinking with your buddies.
No.
Trying on those costumes your girlfriend's costume for cosplay.
Your costume ready.
Have it ready.
And wear good shoes.
Wear good shoes. And don't wear like... Guys, everybody loves Chewbacca, okay? Everybody loves. He's one of my favorite Star Trek guys. But you gotta...
You gotta wax your back every once in a while.
But no, you get hot. Hold on. I believe he's a Star Wars guy. I'm gonna retract. I think I said Star Trek. Okay. So you gotta, like, you're gonna be hot.
Yes.
Right? So
yes.
Go with, like, a mini skirt Sailor Moon look, right, as opposed to a Chewbacca.
Are you talking about the guys?
Sure.
You
can dress whatever you want.
You
right?
know, it is a free world.
It's a free world, and that's the place to do it. That's the place to get it out. That's the place to let your inhibitions go. It's like Fan Expo's like Vegas. What happens at Fan Expo?
That's true.
Right?
That
we'll
true.
Go on YouTube.
Okay. Well, probably right. eventually. Yes.
So get your rest is
yeah.
one.
Eat well. Try not to scarf down too many hot dogs right there.
Yeah, and that street meat,
yes.
stay away from.
Yeah.
The little concession stands in the con, I believe the going rate for a ham and cheese sandwich is $32.
Yeah, that's about right.
So maybe pack a little lunch or something like that and do that. Bring buddies that are also interested in...
Don't go with somebody who doesn't want to be there. The worst thing to see is, you know, the guy or the girl that's super into it and then their partner standing behind them with their arms crossed saying, can we go, please?
Yeah, when do we go?
I'm getting tired. I can't believe you like this stuff.
This sucks.
Yeah.
Right. What else can they do then? Bring cash.
Bring cash. Cash is king.
Cash is king. And when you're haggling, you got that cash in your hand. You got that wad in your hand, Chris. When you got when you whip the wad out and you got it in your hand, guys really are enamored to you. They want to do business with
you. They absolutely do. Right. Absolutely. All right. Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today.
Comic Culture is
produced
by Anthony Falcone. Engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please go to comicbookdaily.com, click on the podcast link, scroll down to the bottom, and enter your comments in the comments field.
And please go outside and have yourself a wonderful day and attend Comic-Con.
And support your local comic book store.
Yes.